You are now tuned in to DAR Sports Media. We're here for Football Friday, and we have NFL draft coverage for you. We are going to go position by position. Last week, it was decided that, hey, we got nice and deep into that quarterback argument as the top draft storylines ended up being about the quarterbacks. So we're going to go ahead, keep it rolling, get to our next position group. We're doing running backs and wide receivers this week. We'll go with the more highly touted end of this, and this is known as one of the best receiver classes possibly ever coming into this group. What do you guys think historically? And also, I'm hearing, and this is just, you know, I think this is a symptom of draft season, so to speak, that we are now, I feel like I'm seeing people doubt that this man, Marvin Harrison Jr., is the number one prospect in this group when he has been, bona fide day one, going to be an absolute megastar from the second he walks on the field. I'm starting to feel like Malik Nabers is maybe catching him a little bit, and that is just absolutely insane to me. Axe, feelings on this class from a historical standpoint and feelings on the top guys in the class. You got Marvin Harrison with a bullet.
I personally have Marvin Harrison Jr. as my wide receiver one. He's been consistent, excellent. Like the catch radius, he produced despite having a horrible quarterback last season and who had to jump in the portal. These other guys, like Malik Nabers, as great as he is, he did have the Heisman winner at QB. Had Brian Davis on the other end to take pressure off of him as well. So I'm not sure. I mean, it's a deep class. I see multiple 1,000-yard receivers on deck. Like Xavier Worthy is intriguing. Like if he stays healthy, Roma Dunze, he's pretty good. So I see multiple 1,000-yard receivers in this class.
Tay, what do you think? Top end, is this historical draft class? Is Marvin Harrison head and shoulders should be the number one guy?
Yes. If you know me outside of here, you know how high I am on Marvin Harrison Jr. I think we have a Hall of Fame wide receiver on our hands right now. I mean, he can do it all. He can run every route. He can produce after the catch. He can go get anything. 50-50s are not 50-50s for him. Great size. Everything you want in a receiver. I'm definitely a big fan. That's going to be my favorite player in the NFL when he gets drafted. Malik Nabers is just as good as him too. Like Malik Nabers in the past 10 drives, he'd be wide receiver one. Honestly, yep. Like if you just go back, like he's just behind another, I would say generational wide receiver. I mean, any other class, Malik Nabers, he was going to go above Jamar Chase when he went like number five. Like Malik Nabers is just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. So I'm not really surprised that, you know, people might have him over Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, like he can do everything as well. He is elite after the catch. You know, he has a great ball tracker, can hit him deep, intermediate, short, you know. And he has solid size too. 6 foot 205. I think that's great. You know, he's not little. You couldn't classify him as just slot size. You know, I think he can play outside, inside, you know, wherever you would need him to. Romeo Dunze, I don't know. I think the situation he'll go to won't be fitting for him. Like, I think Chicago picks him. It makes their wide receiving room better, but I think it'd be like, think of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like,
yeah, it's a great comp.
Not really a lot of touches, you know, like they're not going to be relying on him because they're already going to have Keenan Allen, they're going to have DJ Moore. I don't think a team, unless he goes to the Giants, which that I would want to go to the Giants because I mean that he'd be the best receiver day one. But if he goes past the Giants, pretty he's gonna be on the team with other wide receivers, and it's not gonna be ideal. He'll just be another guy in their wide receiver room. So I think he's really good. He's really talented. But just looking at the draft board and just what teams have been looking at and whatnot, I don't know if it'll be ideal for him, you know. Ladd McConkey is probably one of my favorite wide receivers in this draft.
Oh, man. Do you got him all the way up here at four?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, you know, people thought he was just this guy who you know, was a Hunter Renfro, Hunter Renfro Jr., routing people up, super productive college player, nice little college player. Then he went out there and ran that 40 at the combine, and they said, oh, no, maybe what we were seeing going on out there to these SEC corners is real, and this guy's a legit big-time prospect. So I guess you're on that side of it.
Yeah, like, I think out the gate, probably one of the best route runners in the league as soon as he gets drafted. He has slot size, yes, but I think you can put him outside. He's like 5'11"-ish, maybe a little taller than that. 180, 185, 190. I mean, I'm not really worried about that. Like,
he was a nasty operator at Georgia. Absolutely.
Yeah. He can run every route. Like, I think if he will be a top 10 route runner off the bat as soon as he touches the NFL. Like, he's that talented. And I do have him that high. Like, I think he'll go later in the first. Like, I think Buffalo would be perfect. Like, if I'm Buffalo, if he's there, I'm taking him. And that'd be perfect. That would be the perfect thing they need. You could put him everywhere, inside, outside, whatever, you know. That's definitely – I wouldn't call him a sleeper because, I mean, you know, he's late first, early second prospect, you know. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of Ladd McConkey.
Axe, for your and as far as my top of the ranking, I echo everything that Axe says. I think it's head and shoulders, Marvin Harrison. Elite speed, elite hands, elite production, even with absolute bullshit at quarterback. Well, meanwhile, Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze had Heisman candidate and winning quarterbacks to throw them the ball. I don't know what else to say. To me, Marvin Harrison is one of the cleanest prospects we have seen probably maybe in the last 10 years. Right up there with like Quentin Nelson and guys like that, who I just expect to day one be out there and be a stud starter. Axe, is there any homerism coming out? Who do you have as your number two guy in this class? Is it Odunze or is it Malik? No, speak your heart.
I have to say don't Nabers. I think it'll be really similar to like how AJ Green and Julio Jones, how they both were productive, like 1A, 1B, and then eventually kind of Julio separated himself a bit, but AJ still had a great career. It'll be similar to something like that. I'm going to take Nabers as my wide receiver two. On Doomsday, probably three, because like, I don't know, like, I'm interested to see how all the Washington receivers do. I'm not going to call the offense. It wasn't a pro-style offense, so I'm interested to see how guys do create separation, like when guys try to get physical with them. I think Odunze is up to the challenge, but I don't know. I just feel like Nabers is slightly better. He's a little bit more explosive.
I mean, he's
– one name I heard – you know,
he's elite levels of explosive. Some of the most we've ever seen, I think, coming out of a prospect. Keep going.
One name I heard that was rising up the draft boards outside of Xavier Worthy, because he ran the 4.21, is Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Okay. A lot of people are intrigued by him. He's got good size and speed, productive.
Yeah, a little bit of a Debo clone is what I've been hearing people say.
Yeah. So he could be like a second round pick. So even if you don't get a receiver in the first round, Like, this receiving class is deep. One of the deepest we've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Like, you're going to be set. It's just so many quality receivers.
Thoughts on a couple of guys coming up next in the listing. Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Texas had the feller who broke the 40 record. They got Adonai Mitchell, and they're going to have three running backs in this class that are going to probably get drafted. Good Lord, that team was loaded. No wonder just about there by the end. Adonai Mitchell, and then somebody who you're very familiar with, Axe. And I'm disappointed that we're not discussing quarterbacks, because there's another guy I wanted to talk about from this team that I find intriguing, but maybe we'll talk about that later. But Keon Coleman out of Florida State. Dang. What do you think of, he's ranked in the top 10 most groups. Adonai Mitchell is right there with him. Adonai Mitchell ran a 4.34, looks legit in every single way, size, speed. But Keon Coleman, despite somewhat of a poor 40 time, was just an absolute playmaker. Another explosive after the catch guy, did some beautiful things at Florida State.
Yeah, the fact that his catch radius is crazy, makes big plays, constantly just intermediate routes, going deep to him, sure-handed. He only had about, I want to say, two drops with us, maybe. So I think people are sleeping on him. People were higher on him before the combine, his draft.
Yeah, they were.
Took a little bit of a hit. But he's productive out there. He's elite. So, whoever gets Keon Coleman, you're getting a steal, straight up.
Tay, your thoughts on the next tier of receivers? So you like Ladd McConkey over Adonai Mitchell, over Keon Coleman. Any thoughts on those two guys?
I want Keon Coleman on the Commanders. I think if he's there at pick 36, we need that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We need that. Like, I'm a fan. I honestly want that. I'm not worried about the 40 time. Like, I can name countless players that didn't have a great 40, but when you watch them in the game, like the fastest guy out there, like Tank Dell, for example. Tank Dell ran a 4.5. Tank Dell looks like the fastest player on the field every time the Texans played. You know, like I'm not really worried about that. I really look for the 10-yard time is more realistic. Like, that's more realistic in running routes. Like, running wide receiver isn't running go balls all game.
Yeah, true that.
You know, the 10 yards
is when you break fools off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not a position. There's no, like, these guys aren't special team gunners. Like, that 40 doesn't matter, you know what I mean? Like, they're not running full speed 60 yards on the field every time you touch the field. It just doesn't, you know, I'm not really. 40 time can help you, it can also hurt you, but I don't really care. Like, if you play good football, you play good football. But yeah, Keon Coleman, like I said, he has a great catch radius. He can run most routes. Had pretty good seasons. Last season in Florida State. He's pretty good. Xavier Leggett will be a steal for some teams. Like, I think someone might reach. Like, a team that's in dire need of a wide receiver might reach. Like, I don't want to compare him to DK Metcalf, but I see a lot of that. Like, super physical guy, great speed. It's not really common to see that in the NFL like that. If you need a wide receiver in the second round, take him. Like, I think he'll make your wide receiver room better for sure. Xavier Leggett can do it all. I also want to talk about Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin, he went to Oregon. You know, that's my favorite college football team. Yeah, I think Troy Franklin is another guy. You need a deep threat? Get Troy Franklin. He's pretty fast. 40 time for people who look for that. He ran a 4.41. I would say it's pretty good. He can run every route. He's specialist though with the deep ball. Like, I think a team that does not have that, if you do not have a deep threat, I think you draft Troy Franklin. I think you'll be good. You know, he's a solid wide receiver, and this wide receiver class is gonna be really special.
So are you going with that with your as your slept on guy? Because that's what I was gonna ask about next. Who is the sneaky prospect that you guys like? I'm gonna cheat and do mine first so nobody takes it. Okay. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. Tell me if any of this sounds familiar. 5'11", 215 pounds, 4.46, runs the ball hard as hell like a
running back. Let me take a wild guess, man. Are you referring to Mr. Deebo Samuel?
Yes, sir. Dude runs hard as hell with the ball, always manages to get extra yards, will not accept anything less. For my money, possibly the most physical receiver in this entire group. Plenty fast enough. That's 5'11", 215 is nasty work at the receiver position. Built like a running back, runs like a running back, has ferocity like a running back. I love me. And you know, was a fierce competitor. You know, it's not like Western Kentucky is this powerhouse. But he was out there handling that ball like they were a powerhouse. Like, he was a powerhouse. So Malachi Corley, that's my guy. That's, you know, not exactly heralded right now. That's my guy going into this class. Axe, who do you got that you like that's not really been talked about?
I like Roman Wilson off of Michigan.
Yep.
I feel like he's pretty solid, like complete, fast, has decent size at 6 feet, sure-handed. I think we'll be able to see more from him on the NFL level now that he's not with McCarthy and the run-heavy Michigan offense. I don't think we got to see everything that he was able to do. He made a lot of big plays for Michigan. Another one, if he can catch more consistently, if that's a big if, I'm being a little biased here, I would say if you were in the fifth or sixth round, I would take a chance on Johnny Wilson from Florida State.
He's going before that, round three. He's going round three.
Because he has a drop.
I'm telling you, he's going round three. He's for sure going round three. It's just too hard to pass up. 6'7",
contested catch guy. He actually has speed, but the one problem is the drops. But he's a quality player, though.
Real quick, nah, never mind. We're doing receivers.
No, what were we about to say?
No, you know, because we talked about Keon Coleman, we've talked about Johnny Wilson. I kind of elephant in the room there, though. They played with a pretty good quarterback, and that quarterback is in this draft class, and he is getting like zero conversation. And Jordan Travis, to me, was one of the best players in the entire NCAA for the past 2 years and was well on his way to possibly taking them on the playoff run if things hadn't gone the way that they went. Broke his leg, terrible injury. I'm still interested. I'm still interested to see what happens there, and I'm kind of surprised. Like, I get it. Guy got hurt. I understand. But, you know, once upon a time, Willis McGahee looked like he might not walk again from an injury he received right at the end of a season. And he still got picked in the NFL draft fairly high. And I have heard zero, not a one single mention about Jordan Travis. Thoughts on that, Axe?
Well, the receivers helped him out for the most part. He had big moments, but he's not really that accurate. He would just throw it high, and because Coleman and Wilson were so tall, they made a lot of big catches for him. And he's a 6-year guy. And that's the thing. Like, slight accuracy issues, and the running element was a huge part of his game. Now he's coming off the leg injury. It's uncertainty. So that's why I think you're not hearing much about him. He'll get opportunity, but if somebody drafts him higher than like the fifth or sixth round, I'll be surprised.
Oh, no, that ain't going to happen. It'll be seventh or picked up after the draft. I'm quite sure.
Like, but... So he's an undrafted free agent. Wouldn't surprise me if he got out the mud like that.
Tay, you already brought up a couple, but did you have another receiver that you got in your mind that's not really being talked about?
Troy Franklin, he kind of was my...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Jalen Polk, I think him and McMillan could be good from Washington. I don't want to leave them out.
Yeah. Jalen like Polk did some great things. Yeah.
So,
all right, man, so... Yeah, amazing class. You're going to be able to get really productive players all the way through the third round, I think. This is a badass draft class, man, in so many ways. And with the quarterback thing, it's going to push a lot of extremely talented players down. Much as I hate to say it, much to Tay's chagrin, and mine too, since even though we're not in the same conference, it's still competition for us at the top. This is just the type of draft that the teams like the Ravens take advantage of, where all these other teams are jumping around, they're going after quarterbacks, they're going after these flashy plays. I guarantee you right now there's going to be some player with a 95 grade that's going to somehow slip to the Ravens, and we'll be talking about him 2 years from now like, goddamn, that guy plays like an X-Men, just like we do Kyle Hamilton, just like how that happened. Just like how it's happened so many times over and over for the Ravens. Teams like that, well-run teams, they're going to reload in this draft because it's so damn good. There's going to be so much depth left in so long. So let's roll into running backs. I think universally we were talking about the same guy. We're all talking about Trey Benson from Texas. My question to you guys is, are we going to make history here and not see a running back get taken until like the third round? Because I don't see anybody who's you know, that any team's going to be leaping out at. Benson really helped himself with the 40-yard dash. Adequate in pass protection. Does decent out of the backfield. So maybe you see a team that's close to complete or thinks that they are grabbing Trey Benson, maybe some Dallas Cowboys in the second round kind of seems like a place. Thoughts, running back class, who's the top guy? Is he going to go before the third round, Tay?
Trey Benson is going in the second round. I mean, okay. Yeah, I'm almost certain that like this. I think Trey Benson is a franchise running back. Like, I think,
okay,
he could have multiple Pro Bowls under his belt. Like, he's that good. He's one of, if not the fastest running back in this class. I don't think he had any fumbles in college. If it was, he had one. That's it. You know, he has great balance. You know, he can run you over. He can run around you. He can catch. He's a great blocker, probably one of the best pass blockers. Teams like that, too. So he does not have to come off the field, which is a plus. Yeah, it's just everything you want in a running back. You know, there's no cons, you know? Like, if you can block, you have power, you have speed. You can help out in a passing game. I mean, why wouldn't you be a round two guy? You know, like, I think wide receiver heavy, I think he'd go in the first round.
Yeah, I think maybe in different years you could get him at the back end of the first round. I don't disagree with that. Axe, you seem to be a big fan. I'm also interested in, like, say, and the depth of this class. So one thing I do want to say about this running back, because there's nobody that's like super highly heralded, but I see at least five guys that I think that could be solid starters in the NFL. That you could go into a season having that guy starting at running back for your team and feel good about what you got at running back. So I think it's going to be interesting in that way, especially for a team like, say, the Chargers. We know what kind of ball that Jim Harbaugh loves. They're picking at fifth at the five spot in second and third round. Round three, pick five. Sounds just about right for Jim Harbaugh's guy, Blake Corum, who is a running back that I love. I absolutely love. I hope so much the 49ers can get him, but I don't know if he's getting past the Chargers at pick three and the third round at pick five. There's a lot of scenarios like that where you have teams that are picking high that had some bad luck and are, could just be a running back away. So the running back position is very interesting to me in this draft, because, you know, if say that happens, the Chargers pick Blake Corum, I think he has to be considered a pretty interesting fantasy draft option as well. If you go into the season, they pick him. He knows the Harbaugh system. Harbaugh loves him. He's going to be not be facing eight man boxes because he's going to be going against Herbert. Like, you know, I think whoever the Chargers pick, if they pick him in the first three rounds, is going to be an interesting fantasy option going into the next year. Axe, thoughts on this class? I think you had Trey Benson number one as well. Where is he going? How high?
I'm going to agree with Tay and say second round, because there are some teams, especially the Cowboys, that need running back help. So Trey Benson, with his explosion, his speed, power, and he's able to catch out of the backfield, so he could probably help Dakota out in that aspect. I think he's clearly running back number one. I do like Brooks from Texas as well. It is a couple guys. I do like Blake Corum too. He runs so hard.
Aren't you a big ACL guy?
You said what?
Aren't you a big ACL guy? Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL. You know, you take that into account a lot.
Has he torn it recently? Or yeah. Is it like...
He didn't play this year, yeah.
I mean, we'll see how he looks coming back off the injury. I think he's still young. It's more so if you're older.
So... Yeah. So that's a few weeks, not like that's about I say mid-season, you know.
Yeah, you can come back middle of the season. You're right.
Both of you guys liked Will Shipley a lot, and it's another guy I'm excited about as well. Another guy who kind of does everything, not huge measurables, but put up great numbers. Will Shipley, somebody who's interesting, could fall into an interesting slot in the league as part of a good group or possibly a strong team's starter. Max.
Yeah, definitely. Just the power, speed, versatility. Like, it's big to be versatile when it comes to this running back game, because you just can't be one dimensional. Like, it'll be better probably if he does like the zone blocking and runs behind that, because with running counters and things of that nature, I feel like he'll be effective doing that. I think Shipley's going to be an impact player immediately. Might not be a franchise guy, but he'll be somebody that's in the league for a long time, just because he plays the right way, constantly plays hard, doesn't go down on the first hit, just constantly fights for the yardage. So I think he'll be impactful.
Tay, thoughts on Will Shipley?
Will Shipley, be a solid third down back, because I think he's probably the best route runner at the running back position. So, yeah, I think he'd be a solid third down back. Has nice size, 5'11", 205. You know, he'll be a early day three pick. He has home run hitting speed. I believe he ran a 4.46. You know, like he's a third down back you want. Like, he could definitely be more than that. But like, if you already have like a franchise running back, and you want a backup that can just get eat off the screen passes, screens,
yeah,
run routes, stuff like that. You draft Will Shipley for sure. I think instantly he would come in, get the job done for you. Yeah, I think Will Shipley could be a great great player in this.
Pairing him, I think with up in Buffalo, with that backfield would be interesting. Obviously the Giants have a hole to fill, picking up near the top. You need a guy who can do a little bit of everything. I think the Bears would be interesting since they already have DeAndre Swift, but checkered injury history. You could swap in Will Shipley. Teams like that. Who else interests you in this running back group, Tay?
I like this class a lot. I like Braylon Allen a lot.
Yeah.
I think Braylon Allen is my RB2.
Okay.
Yeah. Braylon Allen is my RB2. Not fast at all. It's probably the slowest running back in this class, which is okay. Like, the slow running backs can work. Like, Josh Jacobs didn't come in the NFL fast or anything like that. You know, you can be successful. But you already know what's gonna happen. When Braylon Allen comes in the game, you already know it's not gonna be a halfback toss. It's not gonna be a screen pass. It's gonna be in between the tackles. Fourth and one, he's getting the ball. Like that's what you got out of Braylon Allen. I mean, 6'2", 235. I think he's the heaviest running back in this class as well. Biggest running back. He just offers something different. There's not really that many bruisers in the NFL like that. And he had some good seasons in college too. If you're a big college season guy, he was good in college.
I mean, he played running back at Wisconsin. Running back in Wisconsin, you're putting up numbers. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Solid pass blocker. So he can block for you. It's not great, but he can do it. He can catch the ball too. Decent route runner. He can catch the ball. So you can, I mean, with the right coaching, right play calling, you can play him all three downs if you choose to do so. He's probably one of my favorite prospects. He's got a lot of special traits that no one else is even close in. So yeah, I feel like if you do need a bruiser like that, like a bruising running back, you don't have that, you need a fourth and one, or just in general, first and ten, you can still put him in the game, give him the ball. Yeah, I would definitely draft Braylon Allen.
Axe, who else you got on your board?
He kind of took mine, but
tell us some things that
I like Bucky Irvin.
Okay.
From Oregon. Just the potency, speed, and power that he runs with. Despite the size, I think he'll be impactful. I think Bucky Irvin's going to be a very good pro. That's somebody that slept on. Just the fact that he just doesn't go down after the first hit, I think that's very important. Like, Bucky Irvin's going to be very special.
That's about his 40?
What was his 40, Tom?
4.55.
That's not terrible.
I mean, I'm not concerned about that.
I think as long as they're below 4.6, you're fine. You're fine.
I wouldn't be concerned. I think whoever gets him, probably round 3, maybe 4, that'd be a steal.
I've got a few guys. First up, just a few names to watch. The Eric watch list. First guy I'm going to talk about, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. 5'10", 212, 4.38, plenty of size, plenty of speed. Looked faster than that on the field when played. 1.5, 1.5, 10-yard split, 38-inch vertical, extremely explosive player. Great pass catcher out of the backfield. Someone is going to get a steal with Jalen Wright. Checks every box as far as what you want physically. Linear running style, did a lot of things out of the backfield for Tennessee. Phenomenal player. Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. You were talking about bruisers, Tay, and this is our other bruiser of the class. This is a guy I absolutely just found delightful to watch all through his college career. Pretty poor measurables, explosiveness-wise. Poor 40, poor all of that. But when you watch the guy play, absolute bruiser. Extremely physical. Would get stronger as games went on. Always takes, initiates contacts to defenders. Just a nasty dude who loves football. I hope very much, and I think there's a good chance, he would fit perfectly with the Niners, both in the way he, the play style, the system. Audric Estime. Love, love, love the player. Another kind of deep sleeper, but man, the production and the level and the place he did the production at, you're going to have a tough time finding it as deep as he's going to go. I expect this guy to go fifth, sixth, maybe seventh round. Cody Schrader out of Missouri, 1,600 yards and 14 touchdowns in the SEC last year, was basically that team's their whole offense. Like, everybody knew what was coming and they couldn't do nothing about it. Cody Schrader imposed his will time and time again against SEC defenses. Again, not super high on the measurables, but if you watch the guy play, tough, aggressive, team alpha, didn't fumble a lot, extremely productive player. I love myself some Cody Schrader. So, Jalen Wright, Audric Estime, Cody Schrader, Malachi Corley. Those are my guys to watch out of the running backs and the receivers. Gentlemen, anything else from the two of you? Axe.
I'm not really as high on the running back room, but as far as the receivers, though, like I say, you can get a quality receiver as deep as the fifth or sixth round. It's one of those type of drafts.
Hell yeah. So,
yeah, just
yeah, we didn't even mention one of my another one of my favorites is old Ricky Pearsall out of Florida.
Oh yeah, he's tough too.
Yeah. We were in the pre-production to this talking. We were just like, you know, it was like a bunch of old men sitting on the porch. We were just naming names. Oh yeah, that guy's cold. Oh yeah, that guy's tough, you know. So crazy depth in this class. Tay, any thoughts, running backs, wide receivers, before we get up out of here?
Yes. I'm surprised you didn't mention Blake Corum.
He did.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we talked about him.
In mine?
Well, because yeah, you guys talked about him. And then I discussed, you know, he'd be great in, yeah, Blake Corum's one of my favorite players and one of my favorite players for the Niners. I just don't think he's gonna make it there. I think, you know, the Giants in the third round. I think the Chargers in the third round. I think somewhere right around there, one of those teams that's picking near the top is going to snag him to possibly, you know, either pair him in a feature role or make him their feature back. So I love him. It's a dream of mine that he ends up on the Niners because I love him for that system. I love the way he plays for the team's attitude. I don't foresee it happening.
Okay. I let one slip my mind. I like Marshawn Lloyd from USC.
Yes, sir.
5'8", 220. Size isn't a problem. He's short, but he has the weight on him to balance it out. So you don't got to worry about that at all. He has, I would say, pretty good speed. The power's there too, of course. You know, at 220, you should have some sort of power. Not really a good pass blocker, but that's fine. That's okay. 4.46, solid. You know, if you're big on that. His one thing though, vision. A lot of times at USC, he'd get the ball and just run and not use his eyes, you know. And you can learn that, you know what I mean? Like, these aren't his cons. The reason why he should be a lot higher, honestly, but okay. Vision is a big thing in being a running back. You have to see what's there, what's not. Like you just you just got to know, you know, that can make the difference of a 2 yard run to a 22 yard run. If you see it, you got to hit the cut. You got to make it there, you know. He's pretty much got everything else though, you know. So think of like DeAndre Swift. You know, a lot of people, DeAndre Swift, again, another running back that's not really the best when it comes to his vision, but chase the box everywhere else.
Can hit that gas and take off in the backfield. One guy, speaking of USC, we forgot. We talked about before the show, Dylan Johnson, running back at University of Washington. Super productive. Another guy, some checkered injury past. Didn't score out great at the combine, but man, you put on the tape and it's just tenacity. It's vision. It's want to. It's grit. I don't know long-term if he's an answer for some team, but I would not be surprised to see him be one of those guys that has, you know, a six-game fantasy football stretch that we all remember forever. Like, man, remember when Dylan Johnson was a thing for a little while? He has that type of ability. Not super sure long-term franchise back, but I can see Dylan Johnson having some big games in the NFL and a fan base really gravitating to him as a member of a group. We thank you for joining our group tonight. As we always say, DAR Sports, we got stuff going on just about every other day. We might have something real, real big cooking for this weekend and for Monday going into next week. We've got Hooping and Hollering. That's posted up right now. NBA playoff bubble. If you just want informed, a lot of people, myself included, we start watching the NBA real seriously come playoff time. Well, if you want a nice primer on who all these teams are and what their identities are going into the playoffs, check out Hooper and Hollerin on this very feed that you're listening to this on, because these two did an awesome job of breaking down the strengths and weaknesses of every playoff team going into the playoffs. As we have said often, we got picked up by a media group, the United Football Media. We are on their YouTube page every Monday afternoon doing a wraparound SportsCenter style show about the UFL, the old USFL and XFL. They combined. It's the primary spring football league. The season is kicking off this weekend. We are so damn pumped about that. Ticket sales are going great. We've got a couple of shows posted up there. If you want a primer for this upcoming UFL kickoff, check out the United Football Media YouTube page. We're on there. Our show is called Tell Me About It, and we're on there getting rowdy about the UFL. And of course, me and True come to you every weekend with the weekend wrestling. This week might be a doozy because there's been a heck of a week in the world of professional wrestling. We thank you all for joining us tonight. As you can tell from my long diatribe right there, the world of DAR never stops.